Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank WeTalk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the Creator for allowing me to be. Contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search and type in We Talk Productions and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic: does the United States of America experiment on unsuspecting populations? Is it a nasty rumor, or has the good old United States of America conducted, condoned, or benefited from experiments on unsuspecting people or populations? have they conducted, condoned, or benefited from experiments on American citizens? From Provocative Thought, get ready for what some allege the United States of America has condoned or benefit from. Third world countries, minorities, and poor people appear to be major target populations. And the mental health and the mentally ill. I left those people out, excuse me. Feel free to call in and express your feelings. There appears to be an indicator that the United States is interested in biological warfare, biological experiments, etc. Research is necessary to determine the effect and depth of any weapon. The question is, what length or extreme is the good old U.S. willing to go to, and for what reason are these weapons of mass destruction and human experiments necessary? Who and what is the driving force behind this diabolical idea? Some of these stories sound like they come straight out of a horror movie. Maybe some horror movies have been made from the horrors of the reality of some of these stories. Wikipedia Encyclopedia said, on January 15, 1994, President Bill Clinton formed the Advisory Committee on Human Radiation Experiments. Now, that sounds odd enough right there that you have a committee for that. The committee was created to investigate and report the use of human beings as test subjects in experiments involving the effects of ionizing radiation in federally funded research. So there's your relationship. The committee attempted to determine the cause of the experiments and reasons that the proper oversight did not exist. That means nobody's minding the chicken coop. It made several recommendations to help prevent future occurrences of similar events. As of 2007, not a single U.S. government researcher had been prosecuted for human experimentation. The preponderance of victims of the U.S. government experiments have not received compensation cases, acknowledgement of what was done to them. After World War II, researchers that the Soviet forces, the Soviet Union, Russia, managed to arrest first were tried at the, I'm trying to say this right, Khabarovsk war crime trials. Khabarovsk war crime trials in 1949. The United States absorbed researchers, gave war criminals new identities, immunity from prosecution, and their experimental research into their research programs. The U.S. apologizes for Guatemala's STD experiments. This happened in the 1940s. U.S. government medical researchers intentionally, hundreds of people in Guatemala, including institutionalized mental health patients with gonorrhea and syphilis without their knowledge or permission, more than, well, this article was written, it was 60 years ago, but now it's 70 years ago in 1948. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and Health and Human Services Secretary Kathleen Sebelius offered extensive apologies for actions taken by the U.S. Public Health Service. That's 60 years later when that happened. They offered apologies 60 years later. So basically, the United States government didn't apologize. These guys apologized, and they weren't even in government at the time. So the sexually transmitted disease inoculation study, that's a needle jamming in your arm, your butt, wherever they give you the needle wet, giving it to you, conducted from 1946 to 1948 in Guatemala was clearly unethical, they said. Although these events occurred more than, 64 years ago, it's about 70 years now, they said they were outraged and, they've shot it down. They didn't condone it, but it already happened. So, and nobody said anything for 60 years or 70 years. And that's the United States admitting. There were no formalized regulation regarding the protection of human studies during the 1940s, which brings to question, does that mean you can do any diabolical thing to people in the name of science simply because you're not told not to? Are some people that monstrous that they require written legal restraints to observe ethical boundaries, respect human decency and life? Are some people so monstrous that they have no regard for written legal restraints to observe ethical boundaries, respect human decency and life? Are some people so dissociative that they have no internal respect for or connection to life or the life of others? It appears to be a case of the madman running the insane asylum. That's from Pete Tate. In addition to the policy, the U.S. is setting up a commission to ensure that human medical research conducted around the globe meets rigorous ethical standards. And I don't know if people remember the Tuskegee experiment, the Alabama study where hundreds of African-American men were told they were being treated for syphilis, but in fact were denied treatment. The U.S. government study lasted from 1932 until press reports revealed it in 1972. Previously, I myself had thought this was a 1932-ish type of experiment. I didn't know that it lasted up until 1972. That's a long time. And that's happening within the United States to black folks. So, you know, that's a very long time. Guatemala experiments conducted between 1946 and 1948. Susan Rivery, a professor of women's studies at Wellesley College in Massachusetts, discovered records documenting U.S. experiments that infected Guatemalans with gonorrhea and syphilis, what we call STDs today. Apparently, they were given to these people. So the Guatemalan project was so sponsored by the U.S. Public Health Service, the NIH, the Pan-American Health Sanctuary Bureau, now the Pan-American Health Organization, and the Guatemalan government. Experiments involved 696 subjects, male prisoners, and female patients in the National Mental Health Hospital. And it's sad. The researchers were trying to determine whether the antibiotic penicillin, right, would prevent syphilis infection, not just cure it. So they were trying to find out that if you give somebody that and give them syphilis, that they wouldn't catch it. So through visits with prostitutes who had the disease and direct inoculations, that's how they spread the disease. While most patients got treatment, experts estimate that many as one-third did not receive treatment. So you know what that means, right? The STD experiments conducted in cooperation of the Guatemalan government during the time of the U.S., which had a long association with the Guatemalan military, exerted a powerful influence in the Latin American country, largely in order to protect the interests of an American-based United Fruit Company. In 1954, the U.S. CIA helped overthrow Guatemala's democratically elected president because of land reforms that opposed the multinational corporation. That's another story right there. So from Robert Wabash, 13 most evil U.S. government experiments, includes Tuskegee and the Guatemalan experiment. He has some projects in here that the United States were part of, condoned, and or were the party to the research from those experiments. And this project, I don't even know how to say this, MKULTRA, MKULTRA, Subproject 68. It's a CIA-ran project paid Dr. Donald Ewan Cameron for the project, which was experiments involving mind-altering substance. The goal was to probe examination to methods of influencing and controlling the mind and being able to extract information from Resisting Minds. I don't know if y'all see this movie. What's this guy named? Steven Seagal played in a movie. I think they gave him some of that, some stuff as opposed to get some information out of him or something. So, you know, y'all probably seen it in the movies. Like, some of this stuff just remind me of stuff that I saw in the movies. That's why, you know, did the people from the movies have access to this information or what? Because some of those things appear to have really exist. So, in a period, he was paid for, the period he was paid for 1957 to 1964. He administered electron convulsive therapy at 30 to 40 minutes to normal power. He put patients into drug-induced coma for months in and paid back tapes of simple statements or repetitive noises over and over again. The victims forgot how to talk, about their parents, and suffered serious amnesia. All this was performed on Canadian citizens because the CIA wasn't willing to risk such operations on Americans. Which is strange, considering some of the other stuff that went on. So, to ensure that the project remained funded, Cameron, in one scheme, took his experiment upon admitted children, and in one situation, listen to this, had the child engage in sex with a high-ranking government official, more than one. And filmed it, so he needs blackmail to keep his money coming in for his experiments. So I'm going to show this picture of you and this little boy or a little girl. I don't know what it was, you know, baby. I don't know. So they would blackmail the officers to ensure more funding. That's even more diabolical. That's a diabolical on top of diabolical lack of respect for human life, you know, like, you know. Mustard gas was tested on soldiers via involuntary gas chambers. As bioweapon research intensified in the 40s, officials also began testing its repercussions and defenses on the Army itself. So if you were in your dad, your grandfather, great-grandfather was in the Army in the 40s, he may have been a subject of some of these experiments. In order to test the effectiveness of various bioweapons, officials were known to have sprayed mustard gas and other skin-burning, lung-ruining chemicals like Lewisite on soldiers without their consent or knowledge of the experiment happening to them. So I heard a saying a long time ago that when you're in the military, your life is enjoyed. Your life belongs to the military. And it seems to be these guys, whoever they are, took that to heart. That they own you. They can do whatever they want to do to you. Because anytime somebody's going to expose you to something, a chemical that could cause you harm, you don't even know you're being exposed to it. You know, you hear that your job is to protect the country, and here the country is putting you at risk. That's what is the problem here. They also tested the effectiveness of gas masks and protective clothing by locking soldiers in a gas chamber and exposing them to mustard gas and Lewisite, evoking the gas chamber image of Nazi Germany. Now, as I said previously, that the scientists from Nazi Germany were given new identities and immunity, and they continued research here. So here you got similar research being performed on soldiers in America by the U.S. government, which is everybody's antennas should be going up. The effects of Lewisite is a gas that can easily penetrate clothing and even rubber. Inhaling gas causes burning pain in the lungs, sneezing, vomiting, and pulmonary edema. Effects of mustard gas. Symptoms last about 24 hours after exposure. Mustard gas has mutagenic and carcinogenic properties, mutation and cancer properties that have killed many subjected to it. So these things are very, very dangerous. And how would you like for a person you cared about to be subjected to that, period? Even if you volunteered for that, you wouldn't like that. You definitely wouldn't like that if somebody, unbeknown to them, subjected you or someone close to you, you know, to that type of thing. I don't like the fact that they did it to anybody, whether I know these guys or not. It was also rumored that, along with soldiers, patients at VA hospitals were being used as guinea pigs for medical experiments involving biowarfare chemicals. But that's all experiments were changed to be known as observations to ward off suspicion. So they kind of changed the nature of what they called or what they're doing to ward off suspicions. I don't get that. That makes no sense to me. You say it's not an experiment, it's an observation. It's kind of observation concept. We just looking, we ain't did nothing. That's when you know you observing something, you kind of saying, hey, I ain't do nothing. I'm just looking. You know, so something's wrong with that picture anyway. So U.S. Grants immunity to involuntary surgery monster. This was a Japanese guy during World War II. But, you know, you've got to do a lot of experimentation. This guy here is something else. He's I'm not even exaggerating. Dr. Shiro Ishii, head of medicine, carried out violent human experimentations on tens of thousands during the Second Sino-Japanese War and World War II. Ishii was responsible for testing vivisection techniques without any anesthesia on human prisoners. So he's, you know, like that's like an autopsy thing, right? That's like a V-section. When I do the autopsy, he's cutting you open, gutting you, and why you're not under anesthetic? You don't, number one, you don't need to be cut, and you're not under anesthesia. So the act of conducting experimental surgery on living creatures with central nervousness and examining their insides for scientific purposes. So he's looking at the insides while you're alive. So he was trying to, he was giving unnecessary surgery to prisoners by opening them up, keeping them alive, and not using any anesthetic. So is that a monster? I think they had movies about people that cut people up like that. You know, that reminded me of one of those movies. I think that people were just cut people up while they're alive. During these experiments, he would also force pregnant women to abort their babies. He also played God by subjecting his prisoners to changing physiological conditions and inducing strokes, heart attacks, false bite, hypothermia. Ishii considered these subjects logs. That's all you were to this guy. This guy was so dissociative that these people weren't even human beings. And he's in charge of something. What's going on here? So Ishii was arrested, and then Douglas MacArthur, the General Douglas MacArthur, allegedly struck a deal with Ishii. If the United States granted Ishii immunity for his crime, he must exchange all germ warfare data based on human experimentations. So Ishii got away with his crimes because the U.S. became interested in the results of his research. While not directly responsible for these acts, the actions of the American government certainly illustrated it was more than willing to condone human torture for advancements in biological warfare that could kill even more people. So, you know, we need to start thinking about, you know, just whose foot are we under? Because it feels like these guys are being crushed by the foot of somebody, these people subjected to these experimentations, being cut when you don't have to be cut, while you're still alive, no anesthesia, you feeling everything that the person is doing to you, and they're keeping you alive as long as they can. Deadly chemical spray on American cities. I heard about one of these before. Army, CIA, and government conducted a series of warfare simulations upon American cities to see how the effects would play out in the event of an actual chemical attack. They conducted the following airstrikes and naval attacks. The CIA released a whooping cough virus on Tampa Bay using boats and so caused a whooping cough epidemic. 12 people died. The Navy sprayed San Francisco. I heard this one before. San Francisco with bacterial pathogens, and in consequence, many citizens developed pneumonia. I think one person might have died from that. Not sure about it. I think I read one person may die from that one. Upon Savannah, Georgia, and Avon Park, Florida, the Army released millions of mosquitoes in the hopes they would spread yellow fever and dengue fever. The swarm left Americans struggling with fever, typhoid, respiratory problems, and the worst stillborn children killed children in the womb. Even worse was after the swarm, the army came disguised as public health workers. The secret intention was to, they were giving aid to the victims, was to study and chart out the long-term effects of all the illnesses they were suffering. That's right out of a, that's crazy, that's out of a James Bond movie. Like, this is stuff you see in the movies. But apparently it's real. So, you know, I was just wondering, as in my opening, is the movies imitate life, or is life imitating the movies, or is it the both for the two? What's happening here? U.S. infected the Guatemalans. I just read to you about that. Human experiments to test the effects of the atomic bomb. Do you need a human experiment to test the effects of the atomic bomb? Really? So, during the Manhattan Project, which gave way to the atomic bomb that destroyed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, U.S. scientists resorted to secret human testing via plutonium injection on 18 unsuspecting patients. U.S. scientists resorted to secret human testing via plutonium. That's the thing that makes the bomb. That's how the bomb explodes. The nuclear bomb goes off. Plutonium injections on 18 unsuspecting non-consenting patients. Who are these people? Out of 18 patients who were known only by their code names and numbers at the time, only 5 lived longer than 20 years after the injection. Along with plutonium, researchers had fun with uranium. That's another very toxic mineral. At the Massachusetts Hospital between 1946 and 1947, Dr. William Sweet injected 11 patients with uranium. He was funded by the Manhattan Project. So my question becomes, what's going on here? And, you know, knowing that these things are happening, are these type of experiments still continuing in the United States now in the name of science or whatever? Because if this is how we grow, by doing things to people, unsuspected populations, you know, giving them diseases and cutting up people, you know, while they're alive and putting pathogens in them, is this is how we're getting our science, or this is how science is progressing? But it feels more like a regression to me of a human being. So, injecting prisoners with Agent Orange. While receiving funding from the Agent Orange production, Dow Chemical Company, the U.S. Army, and Johnson & Johnson, Dr. Albert Klickman used prisoners as subjects in what was deemed pathological research. So, everything seemed to be being done under the guise of something that's helpful, but it's something that's very lethal. The dermatology aspect was testing out a product of the effects of the Agent Orange on the skin. So, needless to say, exposure to dioxin, which is the chemical in Agent Orange, main component in Agent Orange, was injected into the people. So, dioxin is a highly toxic and can cause reproductive and developmental problems, damaging the immune system, interfere with the hormones, and also cause cancer. You probably could guess that from Agent Orange. Remember Agent Orange from Vietnam, sprayed on the bushes, and I'm assuming on the soldiers too, because I'm, you know, supposed to have been in the best interest of, you know, the war effort, but you spraying Agent Orange on the soldiers, you know, it kills plants, trees and things like that, you know, they can't be safe for human, you know, touch and consumption, you know, breathing it and things like that, getting it on your skin. And we had a lot of soldiers that came back with symptoms from the Agent Orange. Klickman was rumored to have injected 468 times the amount he was authorized to do. So this guy just took a little farther. He did what he wanted to do. Documentation of that effects has wisely not been distributed. So whatever he did with this 468 times the amount, I guess it's locked up in a closet somewhere. So the Army oversaw Kligerman continue to test out skin-burning chemicals to, in their words, learn how skin protects itself against chronic assault from toxic chemicals. The so-called hardening process and test out many products whose effects were unknown at the time, but with the intent of figuring that out. You still trust your government? The number trials were being conducted, and the ethics and rights of humanity were under investigation. The U.S. was secretly taking in Nazi scientists and giving them American identity. That's no secret. So while it was not direct experimentation, it was the U.S. taking some of the worst people in the world and giving them jobs here to do unknown, horrible experiments and research. So they still benefit from the same type of research that they were conducting, which they should have been tried as for war crimes during World War II, but U.S. took them in here at the United States as scientists. Go figure. Infecting Puerto Rico with cancer. Now, this is genocide right here. You know what I'm saying? Like in 1931, Dr. Cornelius Rose was sponsored by the Rockefeller Institute to conduct experiments in Puerto Rico. He infected Puerto Rican citizens with cancer cells. I had no idea you could do anything like that. But who am I? Presumptuously, to study the effects. 13 of them died. Really? That's just sound like one of those movies where, you know, Puerto Ricans, he said, the most striking thing that the accusation stemmed from a note he allegedly wrote. The Puerto Ricans are the dirtiest, laziest, most degenerate, and thievish race of men ever to inhabit the sphere. I have done my best to further the process of experimentation by killing off 8 and transplanting cancer into several more. My physicians take delight in the abuse and torture of the unfortunate suspect. That's a quote. So this guy, Dr. Cornelius Rose, is a madman. But that's exactly what happened. He also became vice president of the American Cancer Society. Somebody help me, because I am totally confused. Like, you know, how does a man hell-bent on killing Puerto Ricans through cancer infestation, right, seem to be a candidate to be in charge of chemical warfare projects and receive a seat in the United States Atomic Energy Commission and the American Cancer Society? That's crazy. Don't forget, you can press number one, express, you know, how you feel about what I'm reading, if you think it's true, not true, you know, feel free to press, you know, chime in. You know, I'm just running these things off because I was surprised to see how much it was. I thought maybe there might be a few things, but it seems like it's a lot of things that, you know, United States government is unless you participated in and condone in the name of science and some pretty diabolical characters in charge of these experiments, like, you know, some scary guys. So, you know, next time I see a movie with some scary stuff like this, I'm going to look at it a little different because it seems like it's taken right out of here. Those James Bond movies, those scary guys with the bombs and things like that. So don't forget, press number one if you want to speak about anything that I'm talking about. I'm talking about does America condone or condone experiments on unsuspecting populations and even American citizens? Apparently so. The Pentagon treats black cancer patients with extreme treats black cancer patients with extreme radiation. Extreme radiation would mean more radiation than necessary. So in the 60s, the Department of Defense performed a series of irradiation experiments on non-consenting poor African-American cancer patients. As if in the 60s, African-Americans didn't have enough problems in the United States. They were told they would be receiving treatment, but they weren't told it would be the Pentagon type of treatment, meaning study the effects of high-level radiation on the human body. Is that crazy or not? To avoid litigation, forms were signed only with the initials so that the patients would have no way to get back at the government. This is crazy. Now, Dr. Eugene Singer, founder of the Defense Atomic Support Agency, conducted the same procedure on the same type of patients. The poor black Americans received about the same level of radiation as 7,500 times x-rays to their chest, which caused intense pain, vomiting, bleeding from their nose and ears. At least 20 of the subjects died. Are these mad scientists or not? Is this science, or is this just people just trying to find a way to kill people? Because it looks more like that in the name of science. But it just looks like people trying to kill people to me. It doesn't sound like, I guess science can be evil. It can be something used for good or evil. So maybe this is evil science. If it's this science, it's the evilest science, you know, one of the evilest sciences that you can think about or be exposed to. Operation Midnight Climax. This is really interesting right here. Operation Midnight Climax involved safe houses in New York and San Francisco built for the sole purpose of study of LSD effects on non-consenting individuals. And I know what LSD is, right? Lysergic or something. LSD is kind of, that's a drug. That's a psychotropic drug that you is. Have you thinking you can fly. But in order to lure the individuals there, the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, right, made these safe houses out to be brothels. Prostitutes on the CIA payroll lured clients back to the houses. Instead of having sex with them, they dosed them with a number of substances, mostly LSD, also involved intensive use of marijuana. So, with all this weed in the community, all this weed smoking and things like that, you never know. For you people, I don't know if I got any weed smokers listening, but you know where your weed come from. Did you grow it yourself? Because you don't know where it's coming from, and some of these guys got a hold of it. They're just waiting for you to show up in a hospital or in a morgue so they can test the results of it. Think about that. The experiments were mounted behind a two-way mirror, kind of like a sick, twisted peep show, you know. A video featuring a soldier talking about Operation Midnight Climax and his experience with the CIA and the U.S. government has been removed from the YouTube and the account associated with it terminated due to multiple third-party notifications and copyright infringement from claimants, including Philip Morris International. There you go. So you see a lot of corporations have an interest in some of these things. So what do we have here? Do we have people trying to control the population as extermination of people? Fallout radiation on unsuspecting specific territories. I think I mentioned this. After dropping the bomb on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the United States embarked on numerous thermonuclear bomb tests in the Pacific in response to increased Soviet bomb activities. So they detonated in 1954 over Bikini Atoll in the Marshall Islands. Castle Bravo was the most powerful nuclear device the U.S. ever set off. It's not even during wartime. What they didn't expect was for the fallout from the blast to inadvertently be blown upwind unto nearby residents of other islands. Wait a minute. It's a nuclear bomb, right? And the pathogens travel through the air. How can these so-called scientists not expect, you know, fallout to travel upwind onto nearby residents. Come on, are that stupid? The suffering included burst effects and radiation sickness, of course, we know that, right? The effects were greater felt in later years when many children whose parents were exposed to the fallout developed thyroid cancer and neoplasms. So, come on, nigga. Come on. Like, this is like pissing on you and telling you that it's raining. The blast inadvertently was blown upwind into nearby residents of the other islands. Hey. Come on now. You shouldn't, how do you drop your most powerful bomb near anybody? This created Project 4.1, a study to examine the effects of radiation fallout on human beings. What a coincidence. You didn't expect it to do that, but since it did do that, now we got a project where we're going to study the effects of radiation on fallout on human beings. I'm just saying, that's a hell of a coincidence. And it's a hell of a lot of irresponsibility that apparently the United States government benefited from. Don't forget to press number one if you want to speak. I'm happy to have you guys, see you guys listening. But don't forget, your input is as important as the things that I'm reading out on the air. You know what happened in Tuskegee, Alabama? And I think the Tuskegee experiment is kind of famous. It's not a big secret like some of the other things I just mentioned, like that bomb in the Pacific. I don't think a lot of people know about that, because I know I didn't until I started doing this research. I heard about the Tuskegee incident, and what I didn't know was how long it lasted between 1932 to 1972. They recruited 400 black sharecroppers in Tuskegee, Alabama, to study the natural progression of syphilis. So they're going to watch you die from syphilis. One of the largest human experiments in history was conducted on unsuspected residents of San Francisco, and I read about that. Let me see. They said nearly all of San Francisco received 500 particles minutes per liter. In other words, nearly every one of the 800,000 people in San Francisco exposed to the cloud at normal breathing rate, 10 liters per minute, inhaled 5,000 or more particles per minute during the several hours that they remained airborne. They remained airborne for several hours, the passage. And so, the Navy vessel used giant hoses to spray fog of two kinds of bacteria, Serratia marcescens and Bacillus globigi, both believed at the time to be harmless. Really? You got to be kidding. Into the fall. They believed to be. This is another one of those things where, to me, sounds like somebody's pissing on me and telling me that it's raining. Like, come on now. You believe it to be harmless? They sprayed them into the fog where they disappeared and spread over the city. Come on, you spraying something? Come on. Now, if you had asked the people, could you do that, they'd have told you no. But that's just something they just chose to do. This is San Francisco. Toxicity that conventional compounds, zinc, cadmium sulfite is debated. One component, cadmium, is highly toxic and can cause cancer. Some reports suggest the possibility that zinc cadmium sulfide could perhaps degrade into cadmium, but in 1997, a report from the National Research Council concluded that the Army secret test did not expose residents of the United States and Canada to chemical levels considered harmful. That's like, isn't that like the police investigating the police? You know, come on. However, the same report noted that research on the chemical used was sparse, mostly based on very limited animal studies. Come on. Let me go to something else, because that doesn't even make sense. What are chemtrails? And should you be scared of them? Now, this is by Jane McGrath and John Parentino. The trail of clouds that come out of a plane streaking across the sky can be mesmerizing to children and adults alike, right? So what are chemtrails? Jet engines spew out very hot air, and because water vapor is also one of the byproducts of the exhaust, the air is very humid. However, high in the atmosphere where these jets fly, the air is typically very cold, often below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, 40 degrees Celsius, minus 40 degrees Celsius. Additionally, the atmosphere at that height has low vapor pressure, or the force exerted by a gas on the surrounding environment. When jet engine is emitted out hot, humid air into the atmosphere that is cold and has low vapor pressure, the result is condensation. Water vapor coming out of the engine quickly condenses into water droplets and then crystallizes into ice. The ice crystals are the clouds that we see forming behind the engine. Baby, sound very harmless. When the atmosphere is more humid, the contrails linger longer, but when the atmosphere is dry, the contrails disappear more quickly. Contrails can last for hours and cover great distances. Explanation makes sense, but as author and airline pilot Patrick Smith wrote, the contrails consist of not just ice crystals and water vapors, but also other byproducts of engine exhaust, including good old carbon dioxide. That's good to know. Nitrogen dioxide, sulfate products, and soot. In addition, the extra cloud cover can have negative environmental effects. Conspiracy theorists have nicknamed contrails chemtrails because they suspect the government are taking advantage of this scientific phenomenon to secretly release other substances into the atmosphere. That's what the conspiracy theorists all say. U.S. Environmental Protection Agency sheet on contrails explains that contrails, even long-lasting ones, are simply trails of condensation and that they are not harmful. However, conspiracy theorists do not agree with that. Giving you the flu, this is a March 12, 2016 article from Sean Adi Tabati. I can't say his last name. I apologize, Sean. A medical researcher has said that American citizens are currently being made sick by a mystery flu as a result of government pharmaceutical campaign of spraying poisons into our atmosphere via chemtrails. And these guys allege that the government is making people sick with the flu. Sounds like a diabolical scheme to sell, perpetuate the sale of the flu shot. To Dr. Lynn Horowitz, elements of U.S. government and Big Pharma are conspiring to make large portions of the population sick by slowly and deliberately destroying the immune system of millions of America. Is that diabolical right there? People have been hacking and coughing with this bizarre illness that does not seem to follow any logical viral or bacterial onset and transmission period. Now, my question here is, don't these people breathe air, the same air we breathe? Are they people that's doing this? Are they different kind of people? Don't they breathe the same air that they pollute? I don't understand that, because air goes where it wants. Anyway, that sounds just sick. It goes on, it was really bacterial or viral infection. If it was a really bacterial or viral infection, it would have caused a fever, but it didn't. It lasts for weeks, if not months. Sinus congestion, sinus drainage, cough, fatigue, general malaise. People have been feeling off. Armed Forces Research Institute and Pathology has registered a patent for the pathogenic mycoplasma that is causing the epidemic. Huh? The Armed Forces Research Institute pathology has registered a patent for the pathogenic mycoplasma that is causing the epidemic. You can see the patent report in the book Healing Code for the Biblical Apocalypse. Now, are we in trouble? Do we have the wolf mining the chicken coop? The hell with the fox? You might have the wolverine on mining the chicken coop. What is going on here? We're running out of time here. I got 10 more minutes left. Less than 10 minutes. And I'm not even halfway through some of the things that I've found. They say mycoplasma is not really a fungus. It's not really a bacteria. It's not really a virus. It has no cell wall. It goes deep into the cell nucleus, thereby making it very difficult to mount an immune response against it. Someone is making us sick, and it's our government or some pharmaceutical company that's in the government. It's a man-made biological weapon. The patent report explains how it causes chronic upper respiratory infections that are virtually identical to what's going on right now. Chemtrails destroy our immune system, it says. So he said, I believe chemtrails are responsible for the chemical intoxication of the public, which would then cause a general immune suppression, low-grade, high-grade, depending on exposure. The immune dysfunction allows people to become susceptible to opportunistic infections, such as this mycoplasma and other opportunistic infections, says Dr. Horowitz. So this is deep because, somebody's trying to break down your immune system. Once that's broken down, a cold could probably kill you. As you know, with the AIDS virus, with Mason's weakens the immune system also. Things that would not kill a healthy person could have devastating effects on a person with AIDS. So this kind of thing seems to be seeking to give people a sort of condition like AIDS. It's going to destroy your immune function, ability to fight off disease. So this chemical AIDS they're trying to give us, what's going on here? Hope this is not true. Hope this is a part of some wild story that somebody's conjuring up. Because chemtrails all over. Just look up in the sky, you see chemtrails all everywhere. So it says ethine, try to pronounce dibromate, is coming out of the jet fuel that is causing immune suppression and weakening people's immune system. That's what they say. Then you got a mycoplasma microbe or a fungus that causes an upper respiratory illness. That's a cold or a hit cold, chest cold, whatever. Suddenly you develop a secondary bacterial infection. Now you get hit with antibiotics, and the antibiotics cause your body chemistry to go acidic. So now you get rashes and other things. Your liver gets full of toxins and comes out through your skin and in rashes, and they get hyper allergenic reactions associated with the other chemicals. So they're saying even if you're going to catch something and the thing you're going to take to help you is going to cause something else, and that's going to cause everything you do is going to cause this thing to get worse. I'm going to encourage everybody to do your own research. Look and see just what the government has been involved with and some of these corporations, especially these pharmaceutical companies, and what the prisons are allowing to be done to prisoners and things like that. The black budget. The Frank Church congressional hearings of 1975 exposed the Central Intelligence Agency biological weapons contracting firms Litton Bionetics and the Army Corps of Engineers who were developing and utilizing various biological weapons on populations. It's not war. And this is all done under black operations, covert operations. And they get funding, and congressional people are never informed really where this money is going. So they're saying that our so-called representatives are not representing us themselves, and are oblivious to what's going on. So who's running the country? Focus on Donald Trump and his antics while all of this stuff is going on. Who is running the country? Who's in charge? It sounds like, it seems like we got a political smokescreen going on if this stuff is still going on in 2018, 2017, 16. You know what I'm saying? So, that's it. And in the contemporary warfare arena, where experts in biological, chemical warfare convene and discuss the ways fit today to really take an enemy out, you don't want to kill the people. You want to produce people who are chronically ill and become dependent on a state and totally sap the resources of the country. And then you can move in with your military, medical, industrial complex, and your international medical pharmaceutical cartel. Then you sell these defeated countries all the pharmaceuticals and chemicals they need to maintain any semblance of healthy function. That is diabolical. You can't get more diabolical than that. So if you got population control and you make the vast fortunes doing it, so they're going to control the population, make them sick, weakly, probably mad. Maybe that's part of the reason why we have so many people walking around with mental health illness nowadays also, because, you know, it has to be a reason. And I see a lot of chemicals being placed in our atmosphere and affect the unborn fetuses probably also. So you got the population control. You make money doing it versus just blowing up a nuclear weapon and devastating the infrastructure that you own. You and your colleagues own the infrastructure. You want to get rid of the people. You don't want to get rid of the infrastructure. Okay? And I'm going to stop right there, because I could go on and on and on. I could have done this for 2 hours. But I'm going to say, everybody do your own research. Look into these what governments are doing to people. What science,
you will not be able to stay home, brother.
What corporations are doing to people.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out.
Each one reach one, each
you will
one,
not
each
be able
one.
To lose yourself
don't
on Jag and skip out for beer during
next
commercials
Saturday.
Because
Bobby
the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.
I don't want to thank the creators.
The revolution
night,
will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.